This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two of The Usual Suspects starts now, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday in the big city as we got through hour number one, rattling around some sports and a whole bunch of other things as we keep you guys hopefully entertained and a little levity from the seriousness of everything else out in the world these days. Anything else kind of strike a note with you guys from the weekend that we might have missed in hour number one?
I thought it was interesting. I assume you guys have been tuning into Sylvester Turner's press conferences or no?
Yes.
No.
Not really? So I don't think, I mean, they're pretty long, so I don't expect everybody to sit there and listen through an entire press conference. But he did have a message to the criminals of the city of Houston. Did you happen to hear that?
I did not.
Was it like Commissioner Gordon and Batman or something?
I thought it was pretty funny. Why don't you guys give a listen and tell me what you think.
For our police officers, the best way to help police officers, don't commit a crime. And then you won't need us, okay? And let me just make my plea. Until the coronavirus is resolved, criminals take a break, okay? Stay home. So everybody chill. Crooks, criminals, you chill. Wait till the coronavirus is over.
Wait a minute.
That's hilarious. What? That's the funniest thing ever.
What on earth? He said wait until the coronavirus is gone and then go back to criminal.
He's not saying stop committing crimes. Just put it on pause.
I mean, I feel, yeah, don't not commit crimes. Just maybe wait.
Now, keep in mind, fellas, this is the same man that went to parks in the Houston area, and when he saw people of 10 in groups of 10 or more congregating, he's like, y'all, can y'all separate, please? You are not practicing social distancing. And they kept looking at him like, who's this crazy dude in a baseball hat who's telling us how to sit? And no one was listening to him. And the news people, the news stations were covering it. And he just kept going. And he was just going group of people to group of people. And they were looking at him like he was absolutely certifiably nuts.
And then I see on the news as I'm walking through the living room where he's at HEB with Creepy Scott.
Letting Scott McClellan. You know,
look around. Or, yeah, doing whatever. And they're not social distancing, really. They're just doing their thing. It's not good.
I'm surprised at how many shows on television and when they are videoing, like, radio stations. I think the other day, KSBJ did a day of prayer. And they showed it. And the DJs in the booth and around the station were, like, on top of each other. And then when they go to, like, these different TV shows, the ones that are still, aside from the new shows, the ones that are still in studio, there's several people that are like, or one of the things I like, too, is when they show that the news people are, like, in different areas of the studio or whatever, and then behind them is the control room. And in the control room, people are all, like, right on top of each other. I'm like, yeah, that kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah, you guys aren't really good at this. That's okay. But, yeah, not smooth. Not wise, guys.
Plus, I don't know, and we kid a lot about our houses and our things. But the one thing – yeah, of course. But the one thing is, you know, when I said that there's, like, a battle of the backgrounds, when everybody's worried about what their background looks like now. But now, like, on Fox 26 – and I saw Randy McAvoy the other night do it from his backyard by his pool. And, you know, with all these reporters at home, it's like the other dude, the weather guy on 26 the other day, the dog just came jumping into the shot and bounced up on a cushion. And then people are like analyzing online, go, did you see the size of so-and-so's backyard? How in the world? And I'm like, see, that's the thing where you're putting too much out there.
Oh, they want to do backyards, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Say no more, fam. Say no more.
So I would assume that the BS report this week will include your backyard.
No, I had something special planned for this coming week. This time, I just did it in the living room in front of one of the bookcases in our on, you know, on either side of our TV. But I do have something special planned for next week. Because the first one I did in from the bed. And then I thought, well, I'll just do normal this week. Next week, something special. Let's just say it involves a bubble bath.
Oh, boy.
Are you getting a chub yet, Joel?
No. Nope. Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
Right. Nope. That goes back to that whole line and with Joe Exotic about when you're watching porn.
That he stole from Ron White. Let's be real.
Okay.
That's a Ron White joke. He says, when you watch porn, do you like the male to have a small one, a small flaccid one, or do you like the man to have a big, you know, hard? And he was like, yeah, I like the big. And he goes, yeah, you're gay.
What was it? Was it like that? I actually have it right here. Hold on.
You watch porn? He says, yeah. I said, what do you enjoy? The guy with the little one doing it, or do you enjoy watching the guy with the big one doing it? And he says, well, obviously you want to watch the guy with the big one. I said, well, you ain't that straight.
No, I was talking about the Ron White joke, because Ron White does that same joke.
Oh, does he?
He goes,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, because he talks about how if you watch porn with a dude in it, you don't want him to be a... Because he's like, because Ron says everyone's a little gay. And his buddy was like, no, I'm not. He's like, well, okay. When you watch porn, do you like the dude with a small one? Or do you like the dude with a big one? He's like, a big one. He's like, well, you're a little gay. Yeah, that's his joke.
You know you're persuasive when you can convince a straight guy that he's gay. You're pretty darn persuasive.
That's the most amazing part of the whole thing to me. It's just like, how did you manage to just get a guy
like
to go,
how is he not in sales from day one? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, like
that
I
was
said,
really,
that or
really,
he's got really
hard
good
to believe.
Meth.
I mean, that dude's life in California before stuff. He got hooked up with Joe Exotic had to be pretty darn messed up for him to just suddenly be like, oh, this guy's the everything. And then he convinced him to be gay. And then he convinced him to be in a three-way marriage. I'm like, he must have really come from some crazy stuff.
Pretty darn messed up or pretty darn messed up?
Well, both, probably. And yeah, the fact that, I mean, when you start talking about, what's he paying him, like $135 a week?
Yeah, paying nothing.
Or the chick
not
that
happening.
Lost her arm, but
I'm
not
sorry.
Before she signed the release that said she doesn't hold them responsible?
Yeah. See,
when she said, my hand was still fully functional when I signed the paper, but the next day it had to come off?
Pretty wild.
God, that guy is TV gold. TV gold.
He really is.
Now, Barry, when you did your bookshelf, did you pay attention as your background to what books and what was going to be visual? Because I said to Lisa, I've never seen more bookshelves and book displays and cabinetry than every time we watch the news, because we watch the nationals and the local news, and obviously we watch a lot of news with Lisa and her background too. But I was like laughing. She goes, what's so funny? I go, every single reporter has to have like strategically positioned family pictures and books behind them in every time they go to their house.
We took all the family pictures out. I didn't want any family pictures in the shot. And then, yeah, my wife was like, oh, no, I don't want that there. I want this here. I want this. I was like, all right, whatever. Just line it up. I originally was going to do it in my office, and then the lighting was too bad and the TV was too low because the TV has to be like mid-eye level. And my executive producer was like, nope, this isn't going to work. Find somewhere else. So I did.
Wait a minute, Barry. Did they come to the house?
No, I sent him, I uploaded, we have a folder on Dropbox. And so I just did a quick little test shoot and say, here's the lighting. This is where I'm shooting. This is the whole shot. And then he watches and goes, nah, can you move it a little to the right? Do this, do
that.
Wow.
So,
set the shot
you did practice social distancing, unlike some of the others that I've seen. That's well done. Well done.
I'm not a dummy. I don't want to, like I said,
that's a separate conversation, but you are to be commended for what you've done.
I don't want to put my wife at risk first and foremost because, like I said, she does have asthma and those people are susceptible to it. So, yeah, I don't go out and see anybody right now. I did go pick up a wig and a hat because I was going to shoot some videos, So I picked it up. Her, this friend of mine named Kiki Maroon, she does a lot of burlesque in town, so she's got a lot of costumes and stuff. So I was going to shoot some Joe Exotic spoof video, so I needed a wig and a hat. So, but when I got there, she said, just call me and I'll throw it over the fence. So when I got there, I was like, hey, I'm here. So she threw the stuff over the fence to me and left. So didn't get close there either.
No, I was impressed. Real. Yeah, I was impressed. We did takeout this weekend, and they are really good about just making sure that you know they're there. They drop it on the front porch. Before you even get close to the front door, they're gone.
Yep. I took some supplies to our friend Andy Huggins, left them on his doorstep, and sent him a text and said, they're on your doorstep. And he walked out and got them, so I never had to see him.
Messed up.
Him
you left
risk,
it on the doorstep? You're messed up.
No, where else is he going to leave
it? He was on the other side
Andy
of the door.
Andy can't make
yeah.
it to the doorstep. Why don't you walk in and...
Oh, hush.
Something went wrong.
That wasn't nice.
We love Andy.
Wasn't nice
yeah, we do.
He's the only one of us that's been on American Idol.
That's true.
Don't. But yeah, I was going to say, appreciate hold out you. Hope. Barry's still not that old. He'll get there.
Sure. I did have the opportunity to audition, and I said no.
Why?
I don't know. I don't think my brand of comedy translates well. I don't have a good backstory, too. That's why half of what you need is a really good backstory. They don't care about me. I don't have a good backstory. There's nothing incredible in my life. I'm
formerly
lame.
Known as Boom Boom. How could they not be interested in what you have to bring to the table?
You're damn right, Nick.
You
You're
won
right.
a contest. You're on radio. You work with two phenomenally talented guys.
Oh,
it's the
boy.
Best backstory Ooh, ever.
Nope. You failed on that one for sure.
Okay. I tried. All right. We'll continue to roll through hour number two right here on The Usual Suspects. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you?
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, rolling through the first half of the show. I don't know, fellas. I think we saw this coming, except for, I think everybody did with the exception of the people in the building on Kirby. But Aaron Wilson reporting the Texans' initial contract proposal to left tackle Laremy Tunsil averaged $18.5 million per year, and not surprising, his counteroffer is significantly higher. Fluid situation as talks continue. I'm sure they're continuing to the point that the agent said, when you send us over a blank check, we can start getting down to business.
You think?
Yeah, we knew this was coming because of the way they handled it during the trade, and obviously, you held out hope that, they'll be a little bit understanding. They're going to try and work with the Texans. No, they're not. He wants to be the highest paid left tackle in football, and he's going to want it for multiple years.
Who held out hope that they were going to be nice? It was obvious they were going to be nice.
Oh, dude, believe me, you can always find people because I saw them. Because it's the same people that I saw there when I thought there was no one that could justify Bill O'Brien. And I saw tweets from fans loyal Texans fans that were just saying, outside of Kirby, people just don't realize that there's a plan in place. And they know exactly what they're doing. And Bill O'Brien is setting up his systematic lineup on offense to give him I'm like, what kind of Kool-Aid are you drinking?
So Taylor Lewan is the highest paid left tackle in the NFL. He got a 5-year, $80 million deal, $11 million signing bonus, $50 million guaranteed, an average $16 million a year. And that's the highest. Donovan Smith, second highest for the Bucks at 14.5. And then it goes down from there. So you're telling me they offered him
18 mil
and they said no. It would have made him the highest paid left tackle by $2 million, actually $2.5 million, and that wasn't good enough. They're screwed.
Yeah, and Lance keeps saying that he's in the $20 million a year range. If you're going to pay, especially because I didn't know that Tyler Lewan's salary, that's basically reasonable in my mind. I would give Laremy Tunsil 16 a year, but if he's looking for 20 a year, man, they are screwed.
But guess what? You have no choice now. Because you didn't get this done before you traded for him, you pretty much, you're paying whatever he wants. And if he wants 20, you either pay 20 or you lose him and the stuff and all the picks you traded for him. And then you really look bad.
Exactly. Because you two have been talking about this since day one, that this was going to happen. My only hope is that Kyle McNair is like, oh, I got to cut a bigger check than I was expecting. Dang, man. My only hope is that Kyle at least starts to get frustrated, if not already, with Bill O'Brien's moves. That's the only thing I can hope for, because we all expected this. You guys have been talking about this for weeks, if not months.
No, yeah, and I've said all along, and I kept pushing it, and Fred was the one that pushed back and said, Texans have plenty of money. It's not going to be a big deal. No, really? Because right now you've got this one on the plate, and then coming up for dessert, you got Deshaun's deal, and that's going to be super huge for the entire franchise, because now based on whether he's just trying to be a troll or whatever, for whatever reason, he's tweeting what he's tweeted and his friend is gone now and D-Hop. Dude, regardless of whether Mahomes' deal is done or not, he is going to want to break the bank because he's not happy. And you're desperate, because if you lose him, it's like starting over. And I just feel like these two guys hold all the cards in these next two negotiations that are going to be super important for the franchise.
Boy. It would be nice to be a Texans fan.
Here it comes.
Oh,
I knew it was coming.
I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew it was going to be a Chiefs fan.
So glad I'm not. This man. Dude, Bill O'Brien, is just – he's done it again. He managed to screw something up, which if you would have had a little bit of foresight when making these trades, you'd have been fine. But nope. So here we are.
You can be as experienced as, you know, as – O'Brien was with his background with the Patriots and Penn State and everything to be a head coach and a coach, period. But he had no general manager experience whatsoever. And basically Cal said, but here's the keys. Just take it and run roughshod with whatever you want to do with it. And that's just a recipe for disaster. And now here we are knee deep in the middle of the disaster. Okay, Chiefs fan, relax. With that, ESPN searching for content, already putting out their first 2020 NFL power rankings.
Oh?
Care to wager a guess on your Texans?
17th.
Close. 16th.
Okay.
So they have them at 16th, and the question is three words, life without Hopkins. How do you replace an all-pro receiver who's led your franchise in receiving since 2014 and someone who bonded immediately with your franchise quarterback? Texans about to find out. So that's where it all lies with Hopkins, Fuller. With Hopkins gone, Fuller, Stills, and Randall Cobb are going to have to pick up the slack. But Houston still needs another outside receiver. Could get one in the draft. With what picks, I ask? Perhaps with their second-round pick at number 40. I'm sure that's one that's going to step right in and be effective for them, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Top we'll five, see. Barry? You'll be happy.
Chiefs number one.
Correct.
Okay. Who's number two? Let's see.
Another AFC team.
Ravens.
Yes. Ravens at two. Then three. The Niners.
Oh, okay.
Saints.
I was going to have the Saints. But all right.
And your second favorite team at number five.
Not the Packers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yep. All NFC teams are 3 through 6. Niners, Saints, Packers, then Seahawks. But the top two are AFC teams, that being the Ravens and then number one, the Chiefs. And to finish out your top 10, you have Tennessee at number 7, the Vikings at 8, Bills at 9, and Tom Brady's Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 10.
I don't think it's that crazy. Ooh. You know what I mean? I don't think it's that bad. You got Mahomes and the Chiefs at number one coming off the Super Bowl win. That's not crazy. Lamar Jackson, I mean, if he's healthy, I mean, I don't see how you don't rank him that high. It's not like a crazy – Maybe the Packers are a little bit surprising, but other than that, I feel like it's a
you
pretty
bite your tongue, son.
A pretty honest list.
No, I mean, and you always
I probably
have
would
the
have had
Super Bowl
the Saints a little higher, but yeah.
And the other thing, you know, the thing that is always about the Ravens that I question is it's kind of like James Harden's Rockets. Like, they're going to have a ton of regular season success. And then when you get to the playoffs, it just seems like they turn into a different team. It's easier for a defense and coaching staff to scheme for them for some reason. And they're going to have to prove that they can get over the hump and go deep into the playoffs. But obviously on paper, they've improved their defense. They added Calais Campbell. They added some guys where they had some holes. Wolf from the Broncos was a guy they signed to this weekend. So, you know, their D-line is stronger. They still have offensive weapons. And in the regular season, especially in that division, I think that they're going to have a lot of success. It just it remains to be seen how they can go, you know, how they do in the playoffs. And Lamar Jackson's got to get it. He had to get his feet wet last year. You hope he bounces back in his second season in the playoffs to basically say, okay, I understand what I need to do now, and they can take the next step.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch how much better or worse the Ravens are. I think that's going to be very interesting because I think that they could be one of the two best teams in football, or they could fall to the middle of the pack or worse. I really do.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely worth watching because we've seen too many times where, you know, you get a guy that catches the lightning in a bottle in his first year, and then how much more difficult it is when, you know, teams have tape on guys and they can focus and find a way. Because we know last year that there were defensive coordinators that were calling up buddies of theirs that had a friend that was a D coordinator against him in college, trying to figure out how do you stop this guy? You know, what do you look for? Where are the signs to, you know, to guard the edge or when he's going to do this or do that? Now that there's tape on him for a full season, I think that it's going to be a little bit different too. Now it's on the Ravens to have to adjust a little bit more.
Oh yeah. No, so you're right. And that got proven in the playoffs.
For sure. So with that, that'll wrap up the first half of the show. Still got 90 minutes to go, so there's lots more we can get to. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, you want to join the conversation with the suspects, 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number. And, of course, you can hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back! Hour number two of The Usual Suspects rolls on. ESPN 97.5, Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday in Houston as we run the gamut, cover the globe, span it for whatever we feel is conversational. Fellas, anything with that in mind that comes to note that you want to bring to the table?
So I was looking for some catnip for my cat. And
how is Oliver handling everything with this pandemic?
He's doing good. He's hanging good in there. Yeah, he's a little wild. He's a little crazy. Being with a cat 24 hours a day is a bit taxing, but I can't imagine what it would be like with a kid. So I feel blessed.
I was gonna say, I tried to.
Yeah. But I was trying. He's got this little toy that it takes catnip, and I was looking online for catnip at Chewy.com or whatever, and what's crazy is they actually sell Meow Juana.
I'm sorry.
Say that
what?
One more time.
Meow Juana.
What?
Legit? Or, I mean, like, what's in Meow Juana?
I'm not 100% sure. I think it's just CBD for cats. Maybe it mellows them out. I don't know. But I was online. I was like, oh, here's cat. What the hell is that? Meow Juana is available for cats. I was like,
Barry,
great.
You
I'm
just
going to get my cat all high and get him hooked on. And then, you know, because we all know that Meow Juana is a gateway drug. Because then he's going to be on Mieth. And then he's going to start, you know, doing crazy things like Mary and the Tiger King. So I'm not going
to. I was just going to say, Barry, we were just talking about there's more episodes to write for the Tiger King. You just came up with the title for episode year two, episode one. Meow Juana has to be the name of an episode of Tiger King.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So did you buy some?
No, hell no. I'm buying no damn. If anybody's getting to get some Meow Juana around here, it's going to be me. Crazy? I'm buying no damn.
I'm on their website, though. It says catnip products so good they should be illegal. They are a purveyor of 100% organic catnip as well as cat toys, cat treats, and apparel. So you can always get Oliver a nice sweater.
No, I'm not that guy at all. Now, my wife would do some dumb stuff like that. But I am not put an animal in a piece of clothing kind of guy. I don't.
Maybe he wants to express himself like Joe Exotic. Why are you? Why are you stopping him from expressing the way he? I let your wife handle it. She'll get him something.
Oh yeah, Barry. No, believe me. Let your wife handle it, and then when you see the bill, you're going to realize that wives definitely enjoy pets in outfits.
My wife had put our old cat, the one that passed, Sebastian, into a sweater. And he would just fall over. He wouldn't even stand. He would just collapse. So I was like, well, I hope that ruined it for you. And I hope that it never happens again because that damn cat, there's no reason to have a cat in a sweater. There's just no. They already have on a sweater. It's called fur. You don't need to do
that.
That's
what my dog does. It just freezes.
Fellas, I've already told you this. Lisa had this. Most of it, I think almost all of it was purchased before we started dating. But she had Halloween outfits, Christmas outfits, and then sweaters for when it got cold out for the dogs. Her dogs, the small dogs. Mm-mm. Yeah, first thing I said to her was that none of my dogs, none of our dogs are ever going to be seen in any of that. She's like, oh my God, for pictures, for Christmas cards? And nope. No need for any of that stuff.
Oh.
Well, chicks dig that, man.
You're doing the right thing, though. You're definitely doing the right thing because I just don't – I've never been that person that thinks animals should be in clothes. It doesn't seem right.
I'm too lazy to put a sweater on myself, on my own body, let alone on a dog. I'm not going through all that.
Bro, I still – when I go through, we have this like half closet where I keep all the dog food. And when I start getting into the back of that on some of the shelves and I see some of these outfits, I'm just like – oh, no, trash right now. Because if she sees it, she'll be like, oh, it doesn't fit Charlie anymore. We should go get another one. No, we really shouldn't. And we should have never gotten this one in the first place.
Aw.
No. Stop. I was playing ball in the backyard. I was in the backyard playing ball with a couple of them. And they go from the concrete to the grass, racing after the ball. And so sometimes their paw pads get a little cut on them. And she goes in the closet. She's got like these paw guard, like almost like Crocs for dogs. I'm like, nope, don't even take it out of the package. Yeah, no, bro, dogs will tough it out. That's the part of the beauty of being a dog. Yeah, no way.
Good for you.
Not going to happen. But I see it all the time, the people that are overboard about that stuff.
Oh, don't do it. Do you like put a beret on your Chihuahua or anything?
He doesn't have a Chihuahua.
I don't have a Chihuahua. That would be a negative.
Whatever. What is it? A
Schnauzer.
Chupacabra? What the hell is it? It's a Schnauzer. A that's what it is. Oh, well, I don't
know. It'd be a really tiny. It'd be a 23-pound Chupacabra. That'd be a small Chupacabra.
What was it called? What was that thing you were looking at getting? A Chihuahua or something?
It was a Chorky. It was half Yorkie, half Chorky. Chihuahua. Yeah.
I thought it was a Chihuahua. like a Chihuahua.
You're confusing dog, the breed Sporky of the dog with the dog's name.
Wiener dog.
Yeah, because the dog's name.
Chihuahua.
Nick, what's your dog's name?
Chiquita.
Chiquita.
Not the banana.
Oh, right. That's right.
Yeah.
No, I didn't confuse that. So wait a minute. You make Oliver have a lisp just because I said it one time that he meowed with a lisp as a joke, and you've run with that. But you don't make fun of Nick's dog? Really?
Oh, I know. Well, Mrs. Sharara Mama Sharara loves that dog, so I'm not messing with that
dog. I didn't name the dog Chiquita, so let's put that on. I have to say that every year when we talk about this, I did not name my dog.
What would you have named your dog?
It wouldn't have been Chiquita.
What would it have been?
I don't know. It just wouldn't have been Chiquita. Now, the Chihuahua, I named it Chicklets. That was different, but I named the Schnauzer Chiquita.
Dr. Drew said the listeners are curious about Oliver.
Yeah, they are.
Is he interested in little cat toys or big cat toys? I mean, I don't know what that means. I'm not sure. Are you inviting him over for a date, Dre? You trying to get this? What are you implying
since,
there?
Since he looks like Joe Exotic, he's got to get the business started somehow. I don't know. He might be trying to get his first couple animals over to start the old farm.
Oh, that is too funny. He's starting easy. Something he can handle.
Yeah, that's right.
He can't handle a big pussycat, so he's got to start small. That scare you, Nick?
You did, kind of.
I stopped myself for a second, like, whoa, hey now.
It's bad because, you know, I have a delay, and there's already a delay when we're speaking. So it's like twice the delay. I got to, like,
that's great.
Jump my big ass halfway across the control room just to hit the dumb button.
How scarce is it in the office, Nick?
It's pretty quiet. I've seen probably 3 faces the entire day.
Really?
Really?
Yep.
That's crazy.
Damn. Saw Palillo, Todd, and Michael Carroll. That's about it.
Now, does Todd have a letter? Because I don't know. I understand Palillo, and I understand Michael Carroll, but does Todd have a letter?
I don't know. I guess because he's in the media industry. I don't know. Why are you putting Todd on
blast
essential. Like that?
You're essential.
You're trying to say Todd is not essential?
I think Todd should be working from home.
Maybe he is. Maybe a part of his job is that. You never know.
Well, maybe he was on the way to the grocery store and just stopped in the office. I don't know. But regardless, I think Todd should stay home. He's probably listening. We need to be practicing social distancing. All right, social distancing or not, we're here for you till 4 o'clock. We're going to continue to roll on. Plenty more to get to. Lots of things to discuss. And, of course, we always have room for you. So if you want to be a suspect and join the show, 713-780-3776 will get you in on the hotline and or a text message. And or if you want to reach us via Twitter, we're all on Twitter all the time and responding to you guys, the loyal suspects. We appreciate you being with us right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday in the big city as we roll through and also talk to you guys in terms of Twitter and text. No calls recently, so we appreciate you guys reaching
Probably
out.
Probably a good thing with all the delay we have, just text.
Other shows That's are true. Taking calls, but we're just we're bougie are like they? That.
Don't make it we, Nick.
Let's blame Barry. I like that idea, too. I'm team blank anyway. You still got that liquor?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see this? There a couple different things. Nick had mentioned during the break that the NFL is talking about video conferencing and different ways to. I saw on Twitter today that certain teams are trying to conduct virtual workouts, where kind of buried to what you were saying was like, you know, do drills but do them kind of live on, you know, social media or otherwise, so that teams can see it without actually being in person there to see if they can get a better look at a player. Because the NFL has said staunchly, and we mentioned this last week, they're not moving the draft. The draft is going forward with the dates that they had planned. It's all going to be online. So you got that out there. And I just, like I said, at the time when we discussed it the first time, and I still have my reservations about the fact, I think that the NFL is more worried about capitalizing on being the only game going right now, so everyone is completely paying attention to them, and not taking into consideration what an art and a science it is, as Lance has shown us, in terms of when you're drafting professional players to be professionals, and how many things could go wrong, that this is just a really fine line they're tiptoeing right now.
Yeah, it's interesting, but I do think that one thing you could do, and they have the money, obviously, and the resources to figure it out, but you could do it live where you have multiple cameras set up so you get multiple angles, and then you have, okay, do this drill, and you get to watch it live as opposed to it being pre-recorded. So at least you're mm-hmm. like, all right, this is what that looks like live. It's better than nothing, I guess, but you still need people around. You still need someone to be there with the camera. And so, I mean, it still flies in the face of social distancing yep. in many ways.
Well, and I think that it's almost like it's almost like when how the NBA does it with the scorers table during playoffs, where you can't have like a homer on the scorers table. So they bring in people from other locations. You're going to have some, you know, impartial guy with the stopwatch that tells you this was his 40 time legit and not work for a team or the league or whatever it is, or the university to try and make the kid look good. Whoever's doing the workouts, you're right. It's going to, whatever they do is probably going to violate the social distancing, but they're also going to have, for the integrity of the workout, have to have like impartial people involved in the testing process so that everybody can feel comfortable that they're not getting jobbed in terms of the actual data that they get.
Yeah, that's a good point too. It's going to be interesting. We wrote a joke about the draft for the Houston Sports Show where I forget who wrote it. I think it was Chris Rogers, but it said basically once the draft, Roger Goodell said once the draft happens, no one gets a redo because one of their players passes away because of the virus. But it's true that you're also not going to get a redo if you drafted a guy and his skill set sucks. So you better be very careful and figure out a way.
Yeah, that's what I said when you and I were talking about it. It's not like you bought something at the store and you don't like it and you take, here's my receipt, I want to take this back. Nope. Mm-mm. In the second round, you took the dude that can't go and slide step to his right. That's on you.
Yep.
And that's going to be – that's when they're really going to wear it as a league for being so persistent that this had to happen right now.
Yep.
And so, and then from the NBA perspective, I don't know if you saw this or not, but Brian Windhorst has brought this up before, but now he's adamant about it because LeBron did a podcast over the weekend where he said basically he's back on it about if we're not going to have fans, then I really don't want to play the games. It's just not why I play the game. And Windhorst is so – I think the two black clouds in the weather report about all of this from a sports perspective are Brian Windhorst and your boy Kirk Herbstreit, because Kirk Herbstreit's out there – basically saying we're not going to have college football or pro football and almost leaning like nor should we. And I think that's a bit much right now, going too far. But then Windhorst is saying the NBA is going to have all their teams meet in centralized locations that may not even be an NBA city. They're all going to be in hotels and they're going to play a round robin format, almost like summer league, to get through the regular season and then try and set the playoffs. And then determine if they're going to do the playoffs again in neutral sites or they're actually going to have teams that have a home court advantage. But it doesn't matter because they're going to probably, in most cases, play all games without fans in the building just for the TV revenue.
I don't know about that. How do you
– I don't like it at all. Yeah. I hate it. And as I told you and Nick, at the time, the day that this all came down before we even got to where we are now – I said, with the NBA halting right now, smartest thing you do when you pick it back up is you just pick it back up with the playoffs. And I saw an article on one of the Rockets blog sites where they said they interviewed Daryl Morey, and he basically said, we're already planning on playing and scheming for the Nuggets in a playoff series.
What?
That they're already like looking at tape and assuming they're going to play the Denver Nuggets in the first round the way we had said if you ended the season that day and just started the playoffs. The catch that I was telling Nick in the break was that the TV money does not go into effect for this season until all teams play a minimum of 70 regular season games. And I believe that every team in the league has about 18 games left. So that would mean that they would have to probably play a minimum of 8-game regular season to finish out the regular season before they start the playoffs to make sure that it's a legit season that and that they get the TV network money. So that could be something they're thinking about too.
Well, yeah, that I wonder if Daryl Morey had to clear that with the NBA first. Like, did he get information from them? Like, hey, if we do start up, if we do play, are we going to be playing Denver? How is it going to work? Because it would seem like a big waste of effort if you just plan for one team and it ends up not being them.
Yeah, I would say that there's got to be some internal discussions of, like, different scenarios that could play out. And I'm sure that one of the ones that, you know, what they might have mentioned is, like I said, exactly what I had pointed out at the time when we were talking about, like, we did a video for Sports Map too, but we talked about it on the show and said, okay, so if the season ended hypothetically today, this would be the matchups. And I said, look, you're initially, you look at it and go, okay, Denver, no, you don't have home court. But they don't really have a superstar, so it's a good matchup for the Rockets. And then you're going to have to go through one, if not both, of the LA teams anyway. So then in the second round, you would probably play the Clippers, and if you won that, you'd play the Lakers. But we had already said, just the way it looked on, you know, just on that day on the brackets, that's who they'd play. I'm sure plenty of teams have thought of all the scenarios they come up with. One of them has to be as a possibility starting the playoffs as it sits right now, and then they can. I mean, let me put it this way. Most teams in the NBA, their video guys, they're already compiling, like, tons on any potential matchup they would have in the playoffs. So I don't think that that would be that big of a stretch.
Okay. Well,
that
still seems like a lot of wasted effort, but...
I mean, and you think about it. These video departments now, and they get, you know, interns to come for peanuts that work, like, you know, morning, noon, and night anyway, but they basically put a couple people on each team that they could potentially play, and you eliminate half the conference that doesn't make the playoffs anyway, and then you just start evaluating, okay, of the eight teams, let's take these, you know, four and concentrate on them, because we could either play them or they're favored to be there at the end, and then you get a head start.
So are they suggesting that they don't play the rest of the regular season, that they just start with the playoffs?
That's what I suggested. Brian Windhorst is suggesting, and I think the reason why this makes sense is because, like I said, each team will probably have a minimum of eight games regular season to play to validate the TV money for the year. So I would think that the way the NBA kind of gets that over quickly and also still gives TV opportunities, because people are going to want to see whatever games are out there when this gets going again, is say, for instance, you get the Eastern Conference teams. Say you get eight Eastern Conference teams or 10 Eastern Conference teams, and they all meet in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And like a summer league, you know, you've got games at 10 a.m., 1 p.m., 5 p.m., 8 p.m., whatever the case may be. And then within a week's time, each team's played, you know, 5 to 8 games. And you have given the NBA the TV networks what they need. You've accomplished getting players back in shape playing games. And then you just move on with your playoffs.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense.
It does. It sucks for the fans that want it, obviously, in the home cities. The players who have to uproot their and leave their families right after dealing with all of this. But it gets the most important thing that everybody's worried about, and that's money.
Money in sports.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we'll continue to roll forward. 2 hours in the books, 1 hour to go. That went pretty fast for a Monday. So we've got 60 minutes on the clock. What?
I said, boy, did it.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll put we've got an hour to go. Put 60 minutes on the clock and take you all the way till 4 o'clock. Coming up next, the third hour, The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Hello! To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.